gentlemen, good day and welcome to Cribs Cotton Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Nagesh Bhasawanhalli, Non-Executive Vice Chairman, GCL, Dr. Arup Basu, Managing Director, GCL, Mr. Akhila Balachandar, Group CFO, GCL, Mr. Sanjay Bahl, CEO and ED, GEMPL, Mr. Narasimha Jaya Kumar, CEO, Cribs Retail, Mr. Chandrasekar Thyagarajan, CFO, GEMPL. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks are concluded. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nagesh Bhasawanhalli, Non-Executive Vice Chairman of Cribs Cotton Limited.
FY 2024 earnings call for Cribs Cotton Limited. I trust you're all in, and I'll hand it over to the respective business CEOs and the CFO for a more detailed review and a discussion. At a very high level, over the years, we have committed to innovation growth, and I'm pleased to report that our journey continues. Cribs Cotton delivered a robust performance in the Q2 and the H1, reflecting the resilience and the diverse portfolio of our various business segments. Our strategic journey of being a key player in the full-stack last-mile mobility ecosystem continues with our businesses, whether they are roof engineering, electric mobility, and retail. Our mission and purpose of empowering millions of lives and livelihoods through sustainable mobility solutions continues. So now with that, let me hand it over to Dr. Arup Basu, who will discuss Cribs Engineering. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This morning, my commentary is on the performance of the B2B products portfolio, that is engines and axle control linkage. Accelerator, brake, clutch, steering wheel, gear shift, and park brake are the six components used to control any vehicle, either physically using rods or cables or electronically using sensors. Axle control linkage custom designs, develops, and manufactures this entire product range of controls and therefore represents a natural fit to our portfolio. We are making good progress on our ongoing program to build a future-ready, fuel-agnostic product portfolio to gradually wean us from a dependence on demand for diesel engines. The engine and genset portfolio are being augmented with greener, fuel-agnostic variants that can use CNG, biodiesel, and ethanol-blended fuels. In addition, our genset portfolio is fully CPCB 4+ compliant. Simultaneously, we are expanding our international business footprint, which currently constitutes just over 10% of our revenue. In addition, we are also expanding the industry segments we serve, for example, industrial tools and passenger cars. Simultaneously, to enable this transformation, we are augmenting our prevailing domain depth in mechanical engineering with mechatronics and electronics. The latter will help accelerate the growth of electronic sensor-based controls from axle control linkage. In Q2 FY24, the engines business plus axle control linkage delivered revenues of Rs. 381 crore. That was 58% higher year-on-year and 28% higher quarter-on-quarter. The engines business delivered revenues of 313 crore. That was 30% higher year-on-year and 22% higher quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA improved to 10.5% in Q2 FY24 from 3.5% in Q2 FY23. Overall, the diversity of our customer segments, platform technologies, and application areas, combined with our brand Greaves that has stood the test of time for over a century and a half, allows us to be optimistic about the future. Thank you.
I'll take over from Arup. Thank you, Arup. I'm Sanjay Dehel. I'm going to give you the commentary on Greaves Electric Mobility's performance in quarter two of financial year 2024. Quarter two was the first quarter of electric two-wheeler industry, which represented quarter-on-quarter decline after many quarters of steady growth. The industry recorded 181,000 registrations of electric scooters in between July to September, as compared to 217,000 in April to June, which is quarter one of the current financial year. It is a decline Q&Q of about 17%. This was led partly by the reduction in FAME II subsidy incentive on electric scooters effective from 1st June of 2023, and partly by an adverse end consumer price impact owing to the AIS Phase 2 regulations, which were implemented from 1st of April of 2022. However, amidst this slowdown in electric two-wheelers, Ampere continues to be amongst the top 5 electric scooters in India in terms of retail sales. Furthermore, Ampere has strengthened its retail reach by launch on multiple new e-commerce platforms, business-to-government engagements, industry-first introduction of electric scooters in an electronic goods stores like Troma, and with pan-India financing partners like Muthoot Finance. In fact, in addition to Muthoot Finance, Ampere has many new participating financial institutes with Bajaj FinServ, Hero FinCorp, Jana Small Financial Bank, HDB, and so on and so forth. Also, Ampere has partnered with many leasing firms like Redfin, Altmobility, TWU for vehicle leasing to fleet customers. The three-wheeler market witnessed a very high 23% quarter-on-quarter growth in quarter two, with both LC and L5 formats growing in strong double digits. Notably, Greaves Electric Mobility achieved a significant milestone by recording its highest ever quarterly sales in the three-wheeler business, with 75% increase from first quarter and 100% increase YoY. During quarter two, we also unveiled our new electric cargo vehicle, Greaves Eltra, in 3 variants, flatbed, pickup and delivery van. Currently, this vehicle is under trial with many B2B customers and should be commercially available soon. Now, I want to cover the aspects of FAME II subsidy matter. As of 30th September 2023, the company had an outstanding amount of 361.78 crores towards the subsidy receivable from Ministry of Heavy Industries of Government of India. This is under the FAME scheme. The amount includes 80.68 crores towards the claim pending to be filed with Ministry of Heavy Industry. During the 6-month period ended 30th September 2023, the company received a notice from MHI dated 25th May 2023 proposing 3 things. First, recover the amount of subsidy paid to Gentel, Greaves Electric Mobility, since inception of the scheme, amounting to 124.91 crores along with the interest thereon. Second, cancel the claims pending with the MHI for payment. And third, deregistering Gentel from the above scheme. The company submitted its response to the aforesaid notice within the prescribed timeline. The management believes that the company has complied with the scheme duly considering and supported by the legal advice of claim. However, keeping in mind the interests of our consumers and without accepting any of the allegations, contentions or statements in the notice and without prejudice, the company on 27th October 2023 offered to amicably resolve and put a quietus to the matter and has refunded an amount of Rs 139.98 crores towards subsidy reimbursed by NHI today, which as I mentioned was Rs 124.91 crores, and the interest thereon of Rs 15.07 crores. The company awaits confirmation from the MHI for taking the necessary steps to resolve the matter. The amount refunded and the subsidy receivable of Rs. 337.34 crores, it's the net of provision, has already been provided for as an exceptional item in the statement during the current quarter and 6 months, which ended on 30th September 2023. Over to you. Can I just hand over to Narasimha, who can take us to the brief detail performance, please?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Narasimha Jayakumar. I'm the CEO of Greaves Retail. Very excited to be here. Greaves Retail, as some of you are aware, is a leading multi-fuel spares and services business that spans the entire asset life cycle of a asset, which is basically a three-wheeler, electric three-wheeler, or small commercial vehicle. The core proposition continues to be high vehicle uptime and driving asset productivity. So very pleased to say that Greaves Retail had a solid quarter on quarter two. Revenues were up 9% Y-on-Y at 146 crores. On a YTD basis, we touched 284.5 crores, up 12%. Profitability continues to be strong with EBITDA margins of 20% plus. And the business continues to expand both domestically and exports for spare parts and services. Exports of our multi-brand spare parts has expanded to newer markets like Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and Africa. And we witnessed very strong, robust growth for our multi-brand three-wheeler spare parts covering various fuel types. We are seeing very healthy growth there. On the domestic front, we expanded our mechanic loyalty program for Greaves spares for North and Eastern India during the quarter. Our new Greaves Upar app, which is a mechanic loyalty rewards program, has now over 20,000 registered mechanics covering three-wheelers, small commercial vehicles, and electric three-wheelers. Last quarter, we launched our own range of batteries under the brand name of Greaves Power Raja for the L3 aftermarket covering electric three-wheelers, both in the northern and eastern part of the country. We expanded our services footprint to add 44 more outlets for Greaves Care. So overall, the business continues to be doing well, and we are remaining, we remain committed to offering very strong vehicle uptime, which is a core proposition of the business. Thank you.
Thanks, Narasimha, and good morning, everyone. This is Akhila Balachandar, CFO of Greaves Cotton. I'm happy to report our consolidated revenue of 727 crores for Q2 FY24 and ₹1,295 crores for H1 FY24. On a standalone basis for Q2 FY24, Greaves Cotton has reported a revenue of ₹459 crores. Excel, our new acquisition, reported a revenue of ₹68 crore. And Electric Mobility reported a revenue of ₹207 crore. Greaves Engines and Greaves Retail both have delivered robust growth, both quarter-on-quarter and on a year-on-year basis. For H1 FY24, Greaves Cotton reported a revenue of ₹855 crore, up by 14% compared to last year. And on a consolidated basis, H1 revenue was ₹1,295 crore. The good news is that with the acquisition and integration of Excel into the Greaves fold, the revenue from the GCL plus Excel segment for H1 FY24 stands at ₹962 crore. This gives us a strong base to diversify and enrich our core product portfolio. On the margins, GCL standalone EBITDA margins are now firmly in the double digits, 13.9%. And if I were to look at the GCL plus Excel combined, the margins stand at a healthy 16.3%. This puts us on track to our historical trend of 13+ percentage margins of pre-COVID levels. Standalone operating PBT is at ₹62 crores. And H1 FY24, the standalone business ROCE is at 38%. The cash conversion ratio of the company is more than 90%, and that augurs very well in terms of working capital management. and also shows the strength that we are seeing in our legacy business today. In terms of balance sheet strength, the company has almost zero debt and a consolidated net cash of rupees 848 crores, which can be further used for expansion as we go forward. One area where we had seen a lot of pressure in the early part of last year was the overall commodity cycle, and that led to increase in the raw material cost for some of our product segments. I'm happy to note the commodity cycle softening is having a positive impact, and as we go forward, and we are expecting raw material prices and raw materials cost as a percentage of revenue to remain stable in the coming quarters. However, we are closely monitoring and evaluating the current geopolitical situation and its impact on a continuous basis. Electric mobility, given the regulatory challenges, reported subdued revenues of 207 crores and an EBITDA of negative 37 crores. As shared by Sanjay earlier, the current electric mobility results are without the impact of any subsidy starting April 1st this year. The amount refunded and the subsidy receivables have now been fully provided for as exceptional items in these results. With this, our consolidated EBITDA was rupees 46 crores and the consolidated operating PBT was rupees 40 crores. Overall, we saw strong and robust financial performance, and that reflects the strength of the strategy that the company has initiated over the last couple of years. Thank you. I would request Nagesh to add the concluding remarks, and then we can open the floor to Q&A.
No, let's open it up to the Q&A, right? Please open it up for the questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. An operator will take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Participants are requested to only use handset while asking a question. In the interest of time and fairness to all the participants, each participant will be allowed one question and a supplementary question if needed. If participants still have more questions, they can join the queue afresh. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Ashim from Equiris. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a decent set of numbers. So my first question is regarding the standalone business. So within the engine side, we've seen very good growth during the quarter on the engine business. And the profitability in the engine business has improved significantly over the last few quarters. So could you please give us more color onto that, and how do we see this business going forward?
Yes, the engine business grew at about 22%, and I asked the Karo Basu to give a little more commentary on that.
So thank you. Essentially, we've been pursuing this fuel agnostic approach and expansion of the product portfolio to include multiple applications. So the combination of these two is allowing us to expand our application segments from automobile or mobility solutions to other engineering applications where you have engines. The second leg is our increasing focus on international business, as I mentioned, and exports. The third is around the control on costs, which is embedded in our system. So there is a continuous focus on making sure we utilize our assets as tightly as possible and maintain cost control, and the supply chain focus to make sure that our raw material costs, etc., there is a significant focus on that. So two operational focus elements on productivity and cost, and the other is expanding the product portfolio to use multiple applications and exports. Thank you.
Okay. So my next question is on the e-mobility side. So given the fact that now, you know, e-3-wheeler is increasing as a percentage of our total e-mobility modules, so could you give us color on how is the profitability there? And within the e-3-wheeler side, if you could help us also to give us a split on the e-rickshaw and e-auto, that would be helpful.
Yeah. So, in fact, we registered a growth in both L3 and L5 segment. L3 being the electric rickshaw segment and L5 the auto segment there. Both of them grew very, very strongly over the last. The total sales, the volume we registered was 4,706 between both the formats there, which is a 127% growth Y-on-Y and about 75% growth, which is Q-on-Q. Of this, close to about 3,000 numbers were electric rickshaw and the balance was L5, and both had registered a pretty strong growth there. Coming to your profitability question, our three-wheeler business is very close to operating margin break-even now, and is going forward with some growth on this number, we should be having a profitable kind of a margin on this business there. Coming to electric two-wheelers, as I think Akhila also mentioned, there was some challenges in terms of subsidy, but that chapter is behind us. We have closed the entire, through the provisioning that we've done, we've closed the entire amount which has been provided in the balance sheet. Going forward, with subsidy getting restored, we have been declaring a EBITDA positive quarter, which is the quarter four of last financial year. We were a positive operating business in electric two-wheelers. So with subsidy getting restored, we are very hopeful that we will get back to our operating margin. I can take any other question you have.
Yeah. And then, lastly, on the XL control linkage side, so this business is growing pretty strongly. So could you help us understand, is there any synergy of this business with our existing business? And how do we see this business going on?
So this is Arup Basu. As I mentioned in my opening comments, the product portfolio that they make are used for controlling the vehicles. Now, they can be construction vehicles or they can be trucks or whatever it is. And that's the synergy, because we work on the engine side and the engines need to be then controlled through levers, sensors, whatever it is. So the control part is an intrinsic aspect of any prime mover, whether that is IC engine based or that is electric based. So that's a intrinsic and natural adjacency to our product portfolio. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for that, John.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amy Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First of all, a clarification on this subsidy issue. So you have paid the government, you know, around 140 crores, like you mentioned. The 360 crores, which you mentioned, is pending for as of the first half of this year. Are you still trying to claim that, or you have, you have given up that claim also with the government?
So let me clarify, this Sanjay Bell here. As I had actually mentioned in my commentary, that we have submitted the money without accepting any allegations and actually without prejudice. So we do reserve our legal rights at this point of time. The decision whether we want to go for it or not, I think, will be prospective, and I don't want to, you know, really take on that at this stage.
Okay. And the vehicle that you are selling now, you know, starting 3Q, are you still continuing to, you know, build that you will receive the same subsidy, or you right now are selling without any same subsidy for now?
So we actually, as I again mentioned there in my commentary, that we are waiting confirmation from ministry for taking the necessary steps now to get back to portal now. So I think as and when that happens, then we'll start, I think, selling it. Till then, I think we are continuing as we have continued in the first half of the year.
Okay, so customers are getting the same subsidy for now in their price?
Not yet. As I told you, that this can only happen once we have withdrawal of the show cause notice and portal activation.
Okay.
Which is yet to be confirmed. The date of that is yet to be confirmed to us. The moment it happens, then the customers can avail subsidy. Till then, we're not passing any subsidy.
Okay. And anyway, the subsidies have come down, and going forward, you have the newer launches. So as we look into next year, say assuming a post subsidy world, how should we think about the profitability with the overall portfolio that you intend to have on the electric two wheeler side?
Overall, first I want to just clarify that look, we are neither getting subsidy, neither we are charging any customer for the subsidy at this stage. Yeah. So it's been at the pricing excluding any subsidy incentive to the country. Going forward, as we get the subsidy, as you know, it now has been brought down from 15,000 rupees a kilowatt hour to 10,000. Now, if you see our largest selling vehicle, Magna CX, it's got a 2.3 kilowatt battery. So if you look at this, two conditions that they have. One is 10,000 kilowatts per hour battery and the 15% of the ex-factory price, whichever is lower, is going to be subsidy. This then qualifies Magna CX, our largest selling product, to 16,000 rupees subsidy per vehicle, about 16,000 approximately.
Okay.
So that 16,000 is then going to go in partly into margin and partly probably we'll pass it on to the customer. To make ourselves even more competitive and get back to some mobilizing our momentum and getting back to the double-digit share that we used to enjoy pre-the, this stopping of the portal. So that, I think, is yet to unfold there, but you can understand that at about a volume that we are doing, you can multiply the 16,000 rupees per vehicle, that's just a, and then we have high-speed vehicles where we can enjoy up to 20 to 22,000 rupees incentive per vehicle. So an average of that would be a very good indication of how much of additional margin can accrue. And then we will use that partly to become even more competitive and mobilize our scale, and partly, of course, it will be a margin accretive incentive that we'll get.
Understood. So I appreciate that, but I was more thinking from the point of view of, say, assuming that the FAME is anyways ending. I mean, there is talk of FAME 3, we don't know yet, but assuming that the FAME is anyways ending by March 24, given the newer high-speed vehicles that you have anyways unveiled and you have, mentioned in the presentation also, how should we think of profitability? And if you can just add, where do you stand on the PLI? I mean, are any of your vehicles, are you trying to, get them certified for PLI, and what that benefit could be next year?
Yeah, so coming to FAME-III, you're right. Currently, there is no notification that we have on FAME-III, and the current timeline stipulated for FAME-II to get over is 31st March 2024.
Yeah.
So we have about a 4.5 months ahead of us, a little over 4.5 months ahead of us, the subsidy there.
Yeah.
Now the announcement of city and high-speed scooters that you talked about. There are high-speed scooters we have Primus, and we already have mentioned in our investor deck. There is one more that we are planning to launch before the end of this financial year.
Yeah.
And if you take into that, the subsidy is same to get over. It gets over for everybody. So it is still a level playing field, and the overall, the level of the water is going to go up. And that we have to see as to how much of electric industry, is able to absorb. But given the product competitiveness, we are reasonably confident to get a fair share of the high-speed market, even without subsidy, because it is going to be level playing field versus other players. So we should be, hoping for getting the rightful share of the high-speed segment of the market. We believe that if subsidy goes away, city speed will become a little more prominent, given the price factor, as you understand, and high-speed will probably shrink a little bit of a segment, but within that, I think we will be extremely competitive. So that's what we believe. The second part about PLI, we are not part of the PLI at this point of time. There are two kinds of PLIs, as you know. One of the PLIs, as and when it kicks in, one is a cell PLI, advanced cell chemistry PLI, and one is a component PLI. So as and when it kicks in, there is a stipulation as per PLI policy that part of the benefit has to be passed on to OEMs, and we will qualify for that. So we will take as and when that benefit really starts coming.
Okay. But your own vehicles, you're saying you're not trying to get them certified for PLI, like you're, as an OEM yourself of the vehicles?
No, but the PLI is actually an eligibility that you have to apply to the government policy to get that. So we are not part of that kind of support.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot. I'll come back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Amte from Incred. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. So, my first question is with regard to the three-wheelers. When you say operating margin, is it EBITDA margins or, just to clarify, profitable?
When you talk about green electric mobility, if you're referring to the
For the
three-wheelers, I'm talking about operating margin to start with, and then, of course, there will be a PBT which will be breaking.
So operating margin, as per your definition, is EBITDA or a gross margin?
Operating margin. I'm talking about EBITDA margin.
Okay. EBITDA. Thanks. So, second question related to the same is, if you look at three-wheeler and two-wheeler, you are one of the few guys who operate in both the spaces. Wanted to understand, considering the position where you are, you're able to make operating margin much faster in three-wheeler. Can you tell us something about the competitive intensity and technology? Is it better there in three-wheelers and hence it is relatively faster and possible to accelerate you on the margin front as compared to two-wheelers? And also second one is, are there any synergies you have been able to draw from two-wheelers to three-wheelers and hence that cost optimization has also played out for you to achieve those break-even points on a lower volume?
Yeah, so let me first come to your first question in terms of three-wheelers. Three-wheeler intrinsically has been the strength of Greaves as a group. In fact, the legacy of the entire engineering excellence actually comes from the three-wheeler prowess that the group has demonstrated. Arup did talk about this whole, the entire powertrain and how it comes to, you know, really mobilize any kind of a three-wheeler on the road. So, coming from there, our three-wheeler intrinsically is got a stronger profit margin because we have a portfolio of diesel, we have a portfolio of CNG, and we have a portfolio now emerging of electric. So we have an intrinsically stronger margin in IC three-wheelers that we are currently marketing to MLR Auto. That's the subsidiary of Greaves Electric Mobility. I'll come to electric rickshaw a little later. The second part of electric technology you talked about of electric autos, electric L5, we just unveiled the electric cargo vehicle called Greaves Elsa, which on electric powertrain technology is superior to any other competitor that is on the currently on the Indian roads there. It has a range of over 100, two range of over 100 kilometers to a single charge. It's got a ability for full payload of over 500 kgs to do a 12 degrees gradient kind of a slope. It's a fully IoT connected vehicle, the first fully IoT connected cargo electric three-wheeler vehicle on the road. So on technology, we are benefited from that. Coming to the second part of our question about synergies between two and three-wheelers, there is a tremendous synergy that we get, both in terms of back-end and also in terms of front-end. In terms of back-end, there is a dramatic synergy in engineering, design, and the supply chain sourcing. It really starts coming in. Not just the parts commonality or platform commonality, it is purely in terms of the resource and the skill base we have in our human talent, I think is a great synergy we get. Yes, there are some other design synergies, data, for example, HMI clusters, batteries, some of these are other synergies that we have started already getting some early benefits from as we start launching our three-wheeler business. Coming to electric rickshaw business, which is the other part of our business there again we are operatively strong in terms of our ability to, one, in terms of our margins, and I'm talking about EBITDA, not gross margin alone, EBITDA margins there. And there also, we are working towards making sure that our electric rickshaw is one of the most reliable, trustworthy, and safe electric rickshaws on Indian roads. And that's the kind of a journey we are on. And there too, as you know, the same synergies from our two and three wheeler, the other L5 business, do spill over dramatically. But I can take any specific pointer if you want to have.
Sure. So as a follow-up, the reason to ask that synergy is the largest cost component, which is battery, seems to be of different nature, NMC versus LFP. So how do you derive that? By sourcing from the same vendor or actually what does it go at the back end?
Yeah, okay. So I think, look, there are two things in a battery. One is the cell and second is really the assembled battery. So we are looking at conversions as we go forward. As we are building scale and we are building more products in our portfolio. Till about last year, we had just about Magna PX and Zeal PA, you know, just the two products. Now we have Primus added on. We have just launched about a Zeal Ultra cargo vehicle. We are about to, you know, introduce passenger as we go forward there. Clearly, the point you made, both in terms of cells, procurement, and in terms of battery, and it's not too different, actually. It's just a matter of basically modularity of a battery moving from a 2 kilowatt to probably a 10 kilowatt for a three-wheeler, a three-wheeler kind of a drive powertrain that it needs. So, yes, we are going to be converging, and you will see in the next few quarters of convergence happening both in terms of cell and the battery assembly going forward over the next 1 to 2 years. You'll see that happening.
Thanks. So one thing which we, if we can address, which missed out was the competitive intensity in two-wheeler versus three-wheeler.
Mr. Pramod?
Yeah, I'll just answer that and then I think maybe you can get back to the few there.
Thank you.
But the competitive intensity in either of the markets is fairly well established. It's like both personal and shared mobility have been in India for a very long time and both of them have fairly strong players. And India's position, even in the global roadmap, has been fairly strong, both in two and three-wheelers there. Yeah. It just happens that in two-wheelers, if you just start counting the number of players, both domestic and international, and the EV journey, to that extent has been a little more pronounced than in three-wheeler at this point of time. And two-wheelers, in terms of its electric journey, started about 3 to 4 years a little ahead of the three-wheeler market. So that may be the only difference. But at this point of time, just to give you one data point, we will probably have close to about 750,000 electric three-wheelers coming onto Indian roads, which is not very different than a two-wheeler number. So in terms of the growth gradient right now, electric three-wheelers is actually accelerating even faster. And I did give you the numbers of quarter-on-quarter 23% growth that the industry got. In fact, electric L5 had 56% quarter-on-quarter growth, which is the quarter two over quarter one. So overall, in terms of competitive intensity, while on the paper it looks two-wheeler is a little high, but I would say that both are equally competitively intense. And I think that's a very welcome thing because overall the industry moves faster, the ecosystem develops faster, the supply chain comes very, very quickly there. And I think this is a very good, healthy competition which benefits customers at the end of the day. So I think it's very welcome in both the industries.
Thanks, Anand.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Siddhant Sanjay Shah from KBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Sir, I just wanted to sort of circle back on the exciting announcement that you all sort of released to the rest of the shareholders about Abdul Latif Shamil and their investment into Greece Electric Mobility. And since their sort of investment, it's been around a year and a half. And I think not a lot of information regarding the potential synergies going forward. So for the benefit of Greece shareholders, can you spend some time throwing some light on the last 1 year since the investment was made? How have we evolved as a company by having them not only as a financial partner, but also as a strategic partner on board?
Yeah, I'll take that. As you alluded to, ALJ came in as a strategic investor more than about 15 months ago, June of last year to be precise, right? They are a global distributor around in 30 plus countries, bring in international depth, have worked with other EV companies like Rivian, which went through its own startup phase, etc., etc. So clearly, they are on the board. They are valuable members of the board and help our management from time to time. So they are a minority investor. They are a valuable addition to our extended team. And I think as Sanjay and the team go international, I think they are going to be even more valuable given their international experience.
Got it. So the distribution capabilities are well understood and appreciated, and hopefully, the management would be kind enough to sort of lay out a roadmap for expanding our export sort of mix. But I was reading an interview given by Hassan Jamil, and he sort of mentioned about how their mobility strategy has three core pillars. And out of that, their first pillar sort of revolved around design. And it seems like over the last 1 year or year and a half, we've been sort of making that, or forgive my lack of ignorance on the timeline, but it seems like our key priority also revolves more around product and tech. And sort of having them on board, have we seen any advancements on the same? Or can you spend some light as to, explaining a little bit about, what advancements have been made on the tech and product side, on the electric mobility piece of business? Thanks.
Yeah, so I think that's a good point. If some of you were at our Auto Expo stall where we unveiled a series of products designed in India and engineered and designed by our stylists. Right, so we have an in-house design styling team and an in-house infotainment and a cluster team. So a lot of the design elements, the product development, collectively by the entire think tank, led by the management team and supported by the board, right, I think is well on its way. I will also request Mr. Bale to add.
Getting into a specific question you asked on design, as Nagesh mentioned, in Auto Expo, we had unveiled the core design theme and the philosophy for both our 2 and 3 wheelers embedded into our fitting turn and inspiration. This is a Norwegian word we talked about, and that was to really flow into our design ethos for all our products there. That is, as you rightly said, some of the investor inputs have already been taken in and from the ALJ team there. And both of us have co-developed it in the in-house grid, what we call design studio. Now that product, the first real implementation of that is coming up, actually part of Investor Deck is going to be on the NX platform that you see as part of our presentation. So that will be the full embodiment of the design ethos that has started now taking shape for all the Greece electric mobility products. And going forward, there is going to be a lot more platform convergence that you will start seeing. Not just within the different segments of two-wheelers from low speed, city speed and high speed, but also within the 2 and 3 wheeler businesses there. And as and when I think those are ready, I think we'll share the roadmap with you.
Got it. Perfect. That's really helpful. Thanks. I'll circle back in the line.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal from Prescient Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, this is Sonal. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Sir, this is with regard to the two-wheeler market. Just wanted to understand at this point in time, maybe October, November, and maybe take a reference point of our two-wheeler as finals. It's the 450 model for them and Ola S1. Just wanted to understand what is the difference in, let's say, the ex-showroom price or net on-road price between us and them? Is it largely the subsidy? That's the first question. And this is linked to the numbers on the ground, what we're seeing on the Vahan dashboard. Our numbers have come down significantly while the numbers for the others are reasonably up. So, just wanted to understand, like, is this just pricing? Is this product specification? And as somebody else in the call was asking earlier, that maybe when the next round of FAME subsidies comes, is this gap going to diminish over time? How do you see this market playing out? Because otherwise, the product doesn't seem to be viable at the operating level, given how the margins we're talking about. So, just want to understand where are we actually in the market right now as we speak in terms of commenting.
We are amongst the top 5 electric two-wheelers in the country at this stage, and I'll take all parts of the question pretty quickly. So we are at about a 6.3% market share of electric two-wheelers in quarter 2. Now, you rightly said that compared to last year, which was about 12%, this has been come down, but there has been also an explanation to that in the last 6 months where we have not accounted for any subsidy, we have not availed any subsidy from the government, and we have not really been able to pass it down to the customer. So that has created an asymmetrical competition versus some of the other players who have had higher kilowatt batteries like Ola, we talked about, or some of our competitors with 3 kilowatt, 4 kilowatt batteries who've enjoyed a little higher subsidy. And with an asymmetrical competition where we were not availing it and they were availing it, the difference only went up. So this is a momentary kind of a blip is what I would like to believe that we've seen in the first half, and this should start recovering as we get normalized to the subsidy, whether it's FAME 2 or whether everything goes away and it becomes a level playing field, or if FAME 3 has to come, then of course, it Greece is part of it. So that is a temporary blip, and I think that's the way you should also look at it. Coming to the overall segmental thing versus, so one of the sources of growth, there are two sources of growth for electric scooters or electric two-wheelers, if you include motorcycles or mopeds also. One source of growth is that if the customer is wanting a second vehicle in the home or an existing IC customer who is already a hot prospect, the second is a first-time mobility user. So it's the first vehicle which gets into a home. These are the two large sources of growth. For the person who is taking a second vehicle, who's already got an IC alternative, TCO and value probably becomes a little more kind of an important thing, and hence we are finding a lot more electric two-wheelers getting into those homes. For a first-time user who's coming into this category, it is important that same subsidy was able to provide that entry price kind of competitiveness to EVs versus IC options there. And with that subsidy reducing, we're already seeing some impact on the market. And you're rightly there that if your customer is going to walk in, if he's looking at any alternative of two seats, he's getting at 80,000 rupees, why will he pay a 1 lakh or a 1,10,000 rupees for an entry-level similar spec EV, electric two-wheeler? Yeah. And hence, that's the difference that has come now, come up, and that's led to some slowdown in the market. Going forward, we believe that with the electronic prices rail, which is largely part of RMC, coming down, we believe that this prices, along with some subsidy incentive continues, will continue to get equated with the IC alternatives, and we will even have the second source of growth. We can dip into that. So this is where the overall market is, and this is where our position is. If you have any other question, then I can answer that.
So just a short on this, if, let's say just on the mathematical side of it, if there is no subsidy, the price of all this, the product should be basically comparable in the market. This is what I presume is it should be. That is how it is?
No, what I've said, so amongst the EVs, yeah, it will become parity. No, if there is no FAME free, all the electric two-wheelers will not get FAME free. But versus IC, there is going to be a delta of about 20 to 25% entry price level. So at the TCO level, it is different. The total cost of ownership is a very different concept altogether. In total cost of ownership, even without subsidy, an electric two-wheeler is far better. It's close to about 2.70 rupees per kilometer versus 3.30 to 3.40 rupees per IC. That's the kind of equation there. So it's still about 20-30% more competitive.
Understand. Okay, thank you.
Okay,
thank you. The next question is from the line of Sundar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm tired of the mutual.
Yes, please go ahead.
The question I had was more related to how is the partnership with Abdul and what is the strategy that you're charting out for the cost?
Can you repeat that? We couldn't hear you. Partnership with whom?
With Abdul Latif.
I think this was addressed before in the previous question. I think we touched upon that in terms of the area of international distribution, some of the other areas. Yeah.
Thank you.
Next question.
Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind the participants to limit the question to one per participant. You may join the queue for any follow-ups. Thank you. Next question is from Rishikesh from RoboCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is with regard to the EBITDA margins for e-mobility business. So if you could comment, how do you see this in coming quarters and what is the broad trajectory for the next 1 or 2 years?
Overall, the EBITDA margins, if you look at the quarter four of last financial year, we were profitable in two-wheelers and we had a marginal negative in our three-wheeler business. Going forward, at this point of time, I don't want to speculate there, but we are coming very close to operating margin break-even in our three-wheeler business, and two-wheeler continues to be impacted by subsidy. As and when the subsidy gets regularized, and if it gets regularized, we will be coming to unit economic posture for even two-wheeler business.
Okay, and regarding our GCL plus XL, the other part of the business, the margins that we are doing currently, fair to say they are sustainable?
Akila, you want to take that?
Yeah, thanks for this. So basically what I would like to state here is that over the last 8 quarters, we have been on this transformation journey. A few things that we have really focused on is the product portfolio enrichment, like Arup had mentioned earlier, focusing a bit more on exports, and this is something we are working on, cost reduction, and commodity, and obviously the benefit of the commodity pricing is coming to us. So, given all these and the continued focus on this, we would hope that all this helps us to sustain these margins at these levels. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nagesh Basavanhalli for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you all for attending. Just doing a quick summary here, our journey that we started when during the COVID era, we took out costs, and the cost journey continues, like Dr. Basu was talking about, and an operating margin improvement was visible. Our journey on a fuel agnostic path, which was an and, diesel plus CNG plus electric, continues. Our journey on being a fuel agnostic player in addition and also looking at forward-looking skill sets, i.e. mechanical to mechatronics to electronics and sensor, continues. So thank you all for your attention. And happy to take questions offline. Our management team will be ready and able to answer questions if you have additional questions, since we had a paucity of time. Thank you again. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Breeze Cotton Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.